All right, it's another edition of the Edgington Post Show. My name is Mark Edge, and I host the nationally syndicated radio program Free Talk Live. You can find it at freetalklive.com. And this is my independent interview project that I do. And today I have with me somebody, well, he's a very big wig in the talk radio industry. His name's Michael Harrison. Michael, you there?
I sure am. I love the name of this program or this podcast that you're doing. The Edgington Post has a familiar ring to it.
It's funny. My real last name is not Mark Edge. It's Mark Edgington. And so therefore, having the Edgington Post is as legitimate as it can be.
Is that really? That's a great name, Edgington. I thought that you were just playing, you know, games with names. I like the name Edge, too, though, because the word Edge... I mean, I don't want to sound corny and say it's edgy, but it is a cool name.
Yeah, it's short. It matches the mark and the edge. They mm-hmm. fit well. But I really got it because initially somebody was kind of bothering me at the station at one point, so I decided I probably ought to have another name. So that's what happened.
All right. Well, a little bit of background is always interesting.
So, Michael, you are the publisher of Talkers Magazine.
That I am.
And the Talkers Magazine's byline is the Bible of the talk radio industry. Is that right?
It's our line is now the Bible of talk radio and the new talk media. We got the term the Bible of talk radio that was kind of put on us by Business Week magazine many, many years ago. It did a story about talk radio, and they quoted me, and they said that I was publisher of Talkers Magazine, which is the Bible of talk radio. So we were a pretty new publication at the time, so I figured that's a great thing for Business Week to say, so it kind of stuck. But as the years went by, we were more than just radio. We became very involved in the new media as it applies to talk radio. I mean, we're not an internet publication. We're a radio publication. But any kind of media today has to be involved in digital communications. So we expanded upon the Business Week slogan, and we call it the Bible of talk radio and the new talk media.
And it's not that you just call it that. I mean, that's... Frankly, there are two, sort of buck stops here, final word kind of organizations when it comes to talk radio. One of them is Talkers Magazine. If there anything happens in the Talkers world, people come to you for interviews. And the other is Arbitron. And, I think it's interesting that an organization like Arbitron, which has a difficult time getting accreditation in its markets, can somehow be the one of these buck stop here kind of organizations. But it is.
Yeah. And Arbitron, of course, is a ratings organization, and they sell their ratings at a very high price, and very, very big advertising agencies depend on those numbers to be accurate. So they have to go through the ratings accrediting council. There are organizations that rate the raters,
right.
And Arbitron has to deal with that. And sometimes they fall out of favor with them, and sometimes they're in favor with them. We don't have to be accredited by anybody because we're an independent journal. We're not a ratings company, and even though we do publish what we consider to be audience number surveys, we clearly say that this is based upon our understanding of the industry, based upon our taking into account Arbitron numbers and other sources, but we don't claim that they are quantitatively, scientifically accurate. Here's the funny thing, though, Mark, is that if you look at the disclaimer of Arbitron, which is the scientific, quantitatively, at least close to accurate ratings, official ratings, they have the same disclaimer we do. But
yeah,
this is basically the opinion of Arbitron, and it may not necessarily be accurate.
And, when you look at Wikipedia and you ask, who are the top 12 radio talk show hosts in the nation, they don't quote Arbitron, they quote Talkers.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's amazing how that happens. But, I'm in a funny position in my own life and my own career because I am not a fan of statistics. I'm a contrarian when it comes to almost any kind of establishment, mode of, given, this is the law, this is the way it is. I'm very open-minded, especially when it comes to art, especially when it comes to things that are subjective. But we're the ones that people come to, so we do the best we can.
Sure.
But I'm Mr. Disclaimer. I'm always saying to people, this is opinion. This is not necessarily accurate. And the reason in radio why that should be said, and this is really a very important issue, is that it's very hard to accurately rate how many people are listening to any given radio show at any given time, because it's done in private. There's no meter. There's no. It's not like a utility where they tell you how many amps of electricity you used, or even box office where they know how many tickets sold across the counter at the box office, and how many people are sitting in the seats at the movie theater, or how many people are sitting in the stands at a baseball park. You can't see the radio audience, and as we get deeper and deeper into the digital age, and internet broadcasting and specific advertising for specific targets, the advertisers and the press demand even more accurate numbers.
Sure.
And it puts the radio industry in a very peculiar position not to be able to say exactly who's listening and when.
That's the truth. I mean, I do the sales for Free Talk Live, and it's the first question that anybody asks me whenever I talk to them for the first time is, well, how many people listen to your show? And when you're talking about radio, it's a difficult enough question to answer, even if we've got some arbitron numbers. But two-thirds of our markets, I should say two-fifths of our markets aren't even rated.
Right.
I mean, there's stations out there in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, or something like that. And, 12 people could be listening, or 12,000. We don't know.
Right. But if those 12 people who are listening are prone to want to buy a car,
right,
and the 12 of them go buy a car, I'd rather have 12 people, if I were an automobile advertiser, I'd rather have 12 people who are paying attention, listening, and are likely to be moved to action than having 100,000 people listening who don't care. And that's why there's so much more to the business of advertising and to the way radio really should be sold than just, how many numbers do you have? How many people are listening per quarter hour? Because that really does not serve the advertiser very effectively.
And when you add online to this mix, it even gets more difficult. Online, mm-hmm. you can count the amount of listeners. No, that's for sure. But Free Talk Live makes an effort to make it so that anybody who can listen to wants to carry Free Talk Live or listen to Free Talk Live can do it. So we've got a high bandwidth stream, a mid bandwidth stream, a low bandwidth stream. We've got more than a dozen internet, radio, quote unquote, radio stations out there that carry the show. We've got we've got our own network, the LRN.FM network, where, as I understand it, some people actually put up their own community radio stations in different parts of the world with this. And, it's just, the internet makes it even more difficult. Then add in podcasts and, which is it, Feedburner you're listening through, or iTunes? And, it just gets completely impossible to say.
And that's why ultimately I think that we're going to have a better educated industry observer corps, meaning that the people that buy advertising and people that try to figure these things out should understand that as time goes by, the nature of the programming defines the audience. Like, the Golf Channel, it may have a lot of viewers, it may not, but they're golf players. And you see, I know by the nature of your show that there are certain people out there that would be attracted to it. So I don't need to look at the ratings to know that you have listeners. And advertisers should be more concerned with results than with some type of, ethereal numbers that are abstract. If you advertise and you get results, people call, people email, people spend money, people say they heard it, that should be enough.
You would hope, but at the same time, looking at it from the advertiser's standpoint, you have to say to yourself, well, these people are risking. You need a good 13 weeks to make sure that the ad campaign's going to work. And if it's $2,000 a week to advertise on a radio show, not Free Talk Live, but some other radio show out there, you talk about, hey, you should gamble $26,000 on whether or not this will work.
Mm.
It makes it tough.
But you see, but yes, it is. But, you know, the ratings are really delusional in that regard.
Yep.
Because just because you're putting money where the ratings say the audiences are doesn't mean you're going to get response. And it doesn't mean the ratings are accurate.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean the ratings are in effect for the moment you're advertising. It could be last night's show on television. It could be last month's radio show. So the ratings create a false sense of security for people that buy by a method. I don't want to get too in, you know, inside shop, but they call it cost per point.
Sure.
And you know, the advertising agency feels, all right, well, we're spending our money very realistically because we know cost per point. This is getting to X thousands of people, and X percent of them are female and X percent of them are male, and they're between the ages of 18 and 34 years of age and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And then the advertiser paying the agency or the advertiser who's just doing it directly says, ha, I'm putting my money in the right place. And they never really know that they didn't get as much response as they might have gotten from the station with 12 listeners.
Yep, selling, buying gross rating points is agreeing to a agreed upon lie.
And I think that is we're going into the future now. What's happening is as we leave the culture of the 20th century behind, which is really where we all grew up. The idea that there is a mass audience out there, that there is the public, that there are the people. This is an idea that's very 20th century. We're entering a century in which the paradigm is more of separate communities and separate mindsets and targets and niches. And you really have to understand the nature of the customer that you're going for or the audience that you're going for and not just try to put something out there, you know, like Uncle Milty on Tuesday night. Everything can't be a Super Bowl. Everything can't be, you know, the first run presentation of the latest installment of Friends. We're getting away from that. There are science channels and cooking channels and arts and entertainment channels, and there are specialty programs for this group and that group. And this is not going to go away. This is going to continue. And as a result, our entire sociology, our entire culture is becoming what by 20th century terms would be considered fractured. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just extremely different. And those of us in media have to come to terms with that.
It gives an opportunity for the next generation of ad reps to figure out how to do this. I mean, I've been doing this for more than a decade now as an advertising executive, I guess you'd call me. And I was talking to a guy who runs a local toy shop that sells like model trains and remote control airplanes and comic books and gaming things, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons and all that stuff here in town. And he's like, I'm completely befuddled. I have no idea how to advertise. I've got my show wouldn't help him. It's national. I've got a story. I'm looking for males 16 to 24, and I can't reach them. They're running all over the college over there, and I can't reach them. And it's really tough. I mean, you know, a lot of people are just bumping around in the dark trying to figure out advertising these days.
Yeah. What he should do is he should start his own internet radio program about Dungeons and Dragons, about the things that 16 to 24-year-old boys would be interested in, and he should put them on his website. And they'll find him.
Yep.
I really believe in people using their websites to create their own programming in many cases if what they're looking to reach is a very, very, very specific group of people.
Makes it tough. Now, the fact is, I got you on here to talk about something specific that's going on at Talkers Magazine. It's very exciting. Talkers Magazine is known for sort of outside of the industry. Inside the industry, this is where we go for our news. Outside of the industry, you're known for two things, and that is the list of the top radio talk show hosts in the nation. And I don't know exactly how to find that, but I often go in and check. And you're also known for the Heavy 100. And the Heavy 100 is a list of the 100 most important talk radio personalities in the nation in that given year.
Yes, the Heavy 100. And that seems to be the thing that really captured the imagination of the people in the business and the people that observe the business.
It's alliterative.
Yeah, the press goes crazy with it. And it's a lot of pressure for us to put it together. And we do, and we base it on objective and subjective you know, factors, ratings, revenue. Mm-hmm. We look at creativity and how long people have been doing it, how much courage they have,
splash.
You know, there's a lot of different factors go into it: impact, recognition, service, talent, uniqueness, effort, courage. These are all terms that we use in our explanation of how we do it, as well as ratings and revenue, because it is a business. And we actually have the Talkers 250. There are 250 that we designate, and the top ones, the heavy 100, we actually list from 1 to 100. So yep. You add that numbers aspect to it, and it becomes something people like to argue over, and it becomes something very important to the hosts involved. I mean, you guys are in the heavy 100. You know how it feels to move up or move down or just simply to be there.
It's wonderful. I mean, I've got to say that it's just, you know, going to see your picture in the heavy 100 gives this sort of, validation for what one does. It won't buy a cup of coffee, but it is a great thing to be able to reference when you're talking to people on the phone, whether it's radio stations or advertisers. You can say, hey, look, we've been in the heavy 100 for the last 4 years.
Well, if it helps you with the advertisers, then it certainly will help you buy a cup of coffee. And it's supposed to help you with the advertisers, because you should have the support of your industry if, in fact, the credit is deserved. And, you know us long enough to know that we do not just hand out credit without it being due. Mm. But on the other hand, we don't necessarily look to the, Arbitron or any of the factors that the real establishment and staid parts of the industry determine as the only way to find the truth. The truth sometimes has to be interpreted. It has to be, you have to dig it out. You have to understand the business to be able to really say who the real important players are. And I think that we, if nothing else, understand this business.
And speaking of important players, to some extent, the sports talkers have been, the redheaded stepchild to the talk radio industry up to this point. They've just, they don't get their full due. This is a male intensive, medium. Mm. And the people who love it, love it. I mean, it just drives them crazy. They just, they're bananas for the sports talk. And,
you've decided to
roll out a new heavy 100.
Well, first of all, from an industrial standpoint, it's a very important thing to do, because sports talk radio is gigantic. It is the largest subgenre of the talk radio business, the number one genre being news talk, politics, Rush Limbaugh, that style. But you go into all the other kinds of talk, from health talk to how-to talk, home improvement talk, relationships talk. Sports talk is a whole giant industry unto itself, and it's growing, and it's entertaining, and it's generating ratings, it's generating revenue, and it's local. I think you have more local people working in sports talk today than you have working in news talk.
Hear, hear.
So there's a lot of good things happening in sports talk. So we planned this out for a long time. We've been working on this for a couple of years. And this year, we eliminated the sports talkers from the general heavy 100. And just this week, on Monday, we rolled out the brand new first annual talkers heavy 100 of sports talk, the 100 most important sports talk radio hosts in America. And it's been tremendously received. There were so many people on our website this week, we almost went offline. We had to get extra bandwidth. We didn't expect it to go as far as it did. As a matter of fact, there were more people came to see the sports heavy 100 than came to see the general heavy 100. Is that amazing or what?
Well, it's got to be exciting for you. I'm surprised, but it's a new thing at the same time. Mm. So I suppose that there's some kind of, that makes some kind of sense. I'm really, really surprised, though.
Well, the fans, we're not really geared to fans. We're an inside the industry publication. You're not going to find out who likes, what dessert and, what kind of color underwear Rush Limbaugh wears. It's just not what we're about. However, the fans come for these events because they're talked about on the air. And perhaps the sports talk fans are just a little bit more passionate about their hosts than even the news talk fans. But it's not fair to make one against the other. They're both gigantic draws. And I wish I had something to sell the public. We when you have so many, you know, so-called civilians coming to your website, you know, you wish you had something to sell to them so that you could monetize it. And we don't. We're just basically pure industry, and that's all we want to be.
Well, you know, I mean, in a sort of a roundabout way, you're able to, you know, you're able to capitalize in the sense that, you know, it adds credence to Talkers Magazine, and people will advertise in Talkers Magazine. Free Talk Live advertises in Talkers Magazine, and I'm sure, you know, just about every other radio program does. And there's a reason. The reason is when you call up a program director who's, you know, if they're informed, and certainly some of them aren't, they read Talkers Magazine, and they've seen our ad for going on 5 years or whatever it is. I really don't know how long we've advertised, but it's like one of those. It's like paying the power bill. You know, you've got to do it.
What it does is it creates the reality that your show is an institutional part of the business.
Yeah.
See, because the radio industry is so corporate today. I remember when I was starting out in radio, it wasn't corporate. It was all mom-and-papa stations, and the program directors and the general managers would actually program on their stations music or personalities or syndicated shows that they thought were good. Now, they still obviously want to program things that are good, but good is not enough. They want to program things on their stations that they feel are part of the institutions of the industry. It's like the people that own the movie theaters. They want to have in their movie theaters the big films that are across the country, or the big films that count.
Yeah.
These are franchises. So when your program is seen by the people in the industry constantly as one of the players in the industry, when you reach out to get new affiliates or you're doing business with people that are familiar with the industry, they know you. And isn't there a big difference between them knowing you or not knowing you in trying to do business? What an advantage being known is.
I think it is, and I you know, the conundrums that face program directors is long, and we could go on about it for a very long time. But I just wanted to get the opportunity to tell people about the Talkers Heavy 100 Sports, and can you tell them how to go find it, Michael?
Oh, it's pretty easy. You go to talkers.com, and it's there. And just look on the homepage, and you'll find a couple of places where it says the Sports Talk Heavy 100. We have the General Heavy 100. We have news stories about what's in the business and behind-the-scenes stuff, opinions, arguments, all kinds of good things.
It's a great online website. I mean, I'm looking right here, and it's very impressive.
Well, thank you so much, and I really am grateful to you and your entire organization and your show for your support over the years. I'm even more grateful to you for doing such good radio, because that's what keeps the whole industry going. You guys are very, very good. You're original. You're unique. You have courage. You know, I don't know of any other show that is like it, and that's saying a lot. You know, because there's so much follow the leader stuff going on.
Well, you see our whole organization when you put us up on the Heavy 100. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly you and Ian are doing a great job, and I admire you, and I'm honored that you took the time to have me on this program.
Oh, please. It was a pleasure. Michael, thank you. Michael Harrison, Talkers Magazine. That's talkers.com. Thank you very much.
Take care now, Mark.
So that's another episode of the Edgington Post. And, you know, like I've told people before, this is an interview series for me. And I think that that's an exciting thing that Talkers is rolling out. And Michael Harrison really is there's nobody bigger sort of in the industry. I mean, obviously, Rush Limbaugh and these kind of guys are, they're the stars. But Michael Harrison, and, you know, he makes it happen. So anyway, Edgington Post is an autonomous interview program that I do. Also, I do Free Talk Live, which is a nationally syndicated radio program on 7 days a week, 3 hours a day. You can listen live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time at freetalklive.com, or you can go download the episodes for free. The last 7 days are at freetalklive.com, and you can get archives at archives.freetalklive.com, and you can support us by doing your online shopping through shop.freetalklive.com. You can shop through Amazon. You'll get the same great prices, the same great service, the same great everything you get from Amazon, but Free Talk Live gets a cut. It's shop.freetalklive.com.